You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
God bless football, Billy Gill.
God bless football, Mikey, eh?
God bless football, Stu Gotts, because this is an audio only. I do not have to do
You
football.
Did not need to explain that. I knew you were coming back to me. You left out what? We're going to have Topic Shay on. The draft is over. Mikey thinks the draft has gotten too big. I don't think it's quite big enough. But Todd McShay is going to join us. He's a draft expert. I am wondering how Todd McShay, who is synonymous with the draft and really is a big part, along with Mel and others in ESPN that have helped make that thing so big, how he absorbs sitting back and watching that from his couch, because that's what he did over the weekend. He watched it like me and you, Billy. Yeah.
Are you guys glad to be back home? You were there in the heart of the belly of the beast,
there?
If you will.
Yeah. Were you not listening to me, or what happened there?
I wasn't expecting it to come my way, and I don't know what you want me to
Billy's
say.
Billy's a host now. I don't know if you know this, too. Billy's a host now.
You're right.
Praise how big the NFL draft has gotten. Like, it's fine, you know.
I know, but Mikey A thinks it's too big, and I was more wondering about Todd McShay and the experience of watching it from his couch like me and you. Like, that has to be hard for him to do.
Well, here's the good thing. We're going to talk to him soon so we can get his actual answer on the situation. Why do you think it's too big? 700,000 people were there. I mean, I guess you could argue that's way too big. And that was just on the first day.
Yeah, you know what? Like, the event itself, it can be fine. But, like, as far as a TV product, like, I don't need us to bring out somebody new every time. Every former player wants to come out and give a speech, and they all think they're funny, or they all think we all care about what they have to say. We don't. Just get to the name. Let's move it along. I want to see who my team's going to pick.
Wow.
Billy, you disagree with him?
You know, one thing that I am wondering is, so the first round of the draft, arguably the most important round, or where you get obviously the biggest stars, you have the teams taking like the full 10 minutes. And then by day two and day three, when really is you know the least about a lot of the prospects, it's like you have 45 seconds to pick someone, ready, go. And it's like, how are we so like undecisive when we have all of the big names? And then when it's like, we're not really sure, we'll just grab this guy in the fifth round. It seems like you would want to spend more time on who's available those days.
Billy, big news on that front, because we all get mad like when the Bears were on the clock with the number one pick. And we're like, we all know who they're picking. Just walk it up there. But the Bears accidentally released the video of the call to Caleb Williams. And he says they want us to wait till five. So it's the NFL telling them that they can't just go up and do it right away. The NFL is making them wait till 5 minutes.
And you think it's the NFL?
Too big for its britches.
No, but I would think it's the NFL and ESPN, right? Like, they want that thing. They want to milk all the time. No.
Well, I mean, they've sold ads and commercials, so they have an obligated amount of time they have to fill, I would assume.
Right.
Imagine if it was the first round of the draft and everybody knew exactly what they were doing and it was done by 8:45.
I could play and then it was too short.
Yeah. Let's get another round in here tonight.
Mikey, I will tell you this, and I wonder how you feel about this. We'll ask Todd McShay. I do think Caleb Williams, because that team is ready to win right now. When you consider Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze. Oh my God, that's the guy I wanted for the Jets so badly. But when you consider those three, along with Caleb Williams, and a defense that's already good, it's a good division, granted. But I would say there has never been more pressure on a rookie quarterback to win and win right now than there is on Caleb Williams. Is that fair?
I mean, we could be calling for his job by the end of the year, or yes, we could be hailing him as one of the greatest ever, yes, just because he's going into the ideal situation any quarterback could ever go into in the draft, especially with the number one pick.
Right. So you have us maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks in calling for his job?
Well, I would say more 11, 12, 13 weeks in. Maybe you and I will call for it 5, 6 weeks in.
Right. I'm just saying the Bears team is so loaded that it's built to win now. It's the rare team that had the number one overall pick that is built to win right now.
What are the Panthers doing? What are the Panthers doing?
I don't know. Being the Panthers.
Tyson Bagent, huh? Has a great opportunity here if Caleb falls flat on his face.
Special Bagent?
What happens? I have a question. Let's say, heaven forbid this happens. I'm going to get out on the front end and say I'm not rooting for this to happen. I don't want this to happen. But okay.
Mm-hmm.
What if Tyson Bagent pulls a Nick Foles with the Eagles? Will there be teams clamoring for Tyson Bagent at this time next year?
What do you mean? So Caleb Williams, just so we're clear, because what Nick Foles did was Carson Wentz was playing. He was playing at an MVP level. He got hurt. Nick Foles came in. He took that team and won them a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You're saying you could see the same thing with Tyson Bagent? So Caleb Williams plays like 12 games, gets hurt, and then Bagent comes in. Yes, everyone would want Tyson Bagent, including the Jets, who would give him a 5-year max.
The Jets.
Deal. Yes.
Yep. That's what I'm wondering, if what would be the team that would give him a crazy max deal because they're desperate.
The team with a 40-year-old quarterback and no backup plan.
Mm. Yeah.
That team.
I can see, I can see the Raiders the kind of throwing team. money his way.
Where Tyson Bagent's?
Yeah.
All the storylines from the draft that we're sitting here talking about, when Caleb Williams is going to get hurt and when Tyson Bagent's going to get in and he'll parlay it into a big deal.
We said heaven forbid, so we're clear. Yes. New segment, heaven forbid. You just say that beforehand and then you can kind of throw in any hypothetical.
You're covered.
Heaven forbid this happens.
It's a precursor to bad things you're about to say?
Well, no, but, you know, it's forgiven. It's like, well, I clearly don't want this to happen because I said heaven forbid.
Right. Mikey, did the Jets pick make more sense after you realized Mekhi Becton was not going to return to the Jets?
No, Mekhi Becton was never coming back. And the pick was fine. It was just boring.
Yeah, boring.
Just boring.
Mm. I hate offensive linemen. I mean, they're so important. I don't hate them all. I mean, they're great. Right. They're so important.
Well, you need to protect Aaron. You need to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we do. The Achilles, you mean? Yeah.
Any injury, not just the Achilles. Anything. He can't get touched.
The Jets are all in on Aaron Rodgers. So the priority.
You saw what happened last year when Aaron went down,
Billy. Like, I'm saying you're right.
Went up in flames.
Yes.
You need to protect him.
I'm saying you're right. I'm just saying it's boring. That's all. I mean, we're fully in on Aaron Rodgers. We're fully invested. He's got one, perhaps two seasons left as the Jets quarterback. We'll take one at this point. But yes, they have to do everything they can to protect him, no doubt.
You do have Tyrod Taylor.
They are so all in on protecting him that you start 5 offensive linemen and they drafted their 6th in the first round.
Yeah, you never know.
Exactly.
You need depth. You need depth, which is why you got Tyrod Taylor. Listen, you might think I'm crazy. Forbid. You might. No, not heaven forbid. Well, I guess maybe heaven forbid something happens to Aaron again, go. Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think Tyrod Taylor can win you a playoff game.
Oh, I know he can.
Yeah.
Now, no doubt about it.
It's not going to be good enough, but you could win one with Tyrod Taylor.
One.
Yeah. They I like Tyrod Taylor.
So do I. There was a point where I said Tyrod Taylor, with the right supporting cast, could win a Super Bowl. So
you're not wrong. I don't think you're wrong. I think it's still possible.
No, it's not. Oh, my God. Well, what happens if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt 12 games in and Tyrod Taylor comes in and leads the Jets to a Super Bowl? Do you
think?
Heaven
about
forbid.
This?
Heaven forbid.
Okay. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid.
How about this? Tyrod Taylor did win a Super Bowl on the Ravens, so he's already a Super Bowl champion.
Oh, wow. He's got jewelry. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did we take the Florida State kid as well?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Mikey,
sure
fell
off.
Do you know, and who?
Why did he go into the draft?
Who would have thought his leg falling off would be the second worst thing to happen to him in his career? I mean,
the Jets can't develop a photograph, let alone a quarterback.
Oh,
wow. Jesus.
That it?
No, I was just reading a text from McShay asking where the Zoom link is. That's all. I'm sorry, Billy. Sorry about that.
That was Mikey, but okay.
All right. That's it for now. Tom McShay coming up next.
Keep it in.
I'm sorry. Keep it all in.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you BBQ Texas style or just celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. Why do I need Miller Lite, you ask? Great question. Because it is already so hot outside, or it's about to get so hot outside because we're in that weird spring to summer kind of transitional period where it gets really hot. And here's the thing about grilling. Grilling is really hot by nature. No matter whether it's charcoal or propane, you're lighting a flame and cooking meat or vegetables or whatever it is that you're cooking on your grill. And it makes everything very, very hot. So you need a cold drink. And Miller Lite's the perfect one. Because when you cook all this food on the hot flames, it's somehow making all these calories that you're going to consume. And guess what? Miller Lite only has 96 calories. So if you're there saying, I want to look great in my bathing suit this summer, I need to count my calories. No need. Because we already know Miller Lite only has 96. And then you can save those calories that you saved on your Miller Lite. And you can stick those calories into the food that you're cooking on your grill. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, tastes as great as your barbecue. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The light beer with the most taste, less filling and only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975, a perfect companion for grill masters across America. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, Todd McShay is with us. Very exciting. We're recapping the draft here in Detroit. It was a great weekend. Mikey thinks the draft has gotten too big. I have a lot of questions about how McShay absorbed the coverage, not being a part of it this year. I also have questions about what the Jets did. A lot of questions, but we start in the obvious place, Toto. Mm-hmm. Billy has some questions for you, McShay, about Toto. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, Todd, we were talking before you got on tonight. Mikey is going to a, I believe, Toto and Journey concert together. And he told us, I bet that you guys know three Toto songs and no one here believes that they know three Toto songs. So how many Toto songs do you know?
I literally don't even know who the hell Toto is. I know Journey.
All right.
And I wouldn't lie. Like, I have some bad taste in music and stuff. But what is Toto saying? Give me the greatest hit.
Well, Africa.
Yes.
Oh,
Africa.
Oh,
is the,
there you go. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It took that song to jog your memory.
Yeah. I didn't know Toto. Sorry. I can tell you about a guard from Grand Valley State and, you know, stuff like that. But I didn't know it was Toto.
Right. How many Journey songs do you think you can name?
I'm the worst with, like, the actual. If you give me the song, I can say, oh, yeah, that's Journey. But I don't know the names.
Wait, Mikey, can you get a bunch of songs and we'll ask McShay Journey or not Journey? Okay.
Oh, I like this game.
Yeah.
Your job just got hard, man. Sorry.
And he has so many questions for you.
Why do I feel like you guys want to talk about anything but the draft today?
You know. Nah, I mean, I don't know. That's
I don't
us.
Care. Please.
So how was it for you? Because considering your name is synonymous with the draft, this is the first year you're not covering the draft. You're a large part of why the draft has gotten to the place it's gotten to, you along with Mel and ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft. How was that experience for you watching it from home?
It was definitely weird, you know, but I was strangely at peace with it. I think because I'm working hard on what's next, you know, where my next step is. I'm excited about what's next. It's been a great year. Like the best phone call I got was from Kuiper after I got laid off. And he said, and I'm not getting into all that, but just to have a friend call you and give you advice, like, hey, listen, you've had 20 something years where you haven't had, you know, any significant time off. You've been in the grind and all that. You've got two kids who are 8 and 9 years old. You're probably for the next 20 years. And for as long as they're living under your roof, you're not going to have this time. So just dive in and, you know, like, and for Mel to give me that advice, I was like, you know, cause I got a lot of advice from a lot of people, right? And a lot of people I respect, but for Kipe to call me and be like, hey, focus on your kids and your family this year, and you'll never regret that. He's like, I wish I had time with my daughter, Lauren, to spend a year where I didn't have to get caught up in all this. Like, so I'm telling you, as the old guy, he said, you know, just make sure you do that. And I did. And so I'm weirdly at peace with it, but it was strange. It was strange. I found myself being a critic, you know, like really critical of what was being said, the picks that were being made, like, no one was listening. You know, I'm at home. No one's listening. And then my son, it was cute. My son on Friday, he took my board, the top 100 board, and was crossing everyone off and was kind of looking at, give me like, you know, side stares when a player was picked, it wasn't in my top 100. Cause he knows it's kind of like, we all kind of compete to see who can have the most players drafted in the top 100. Like,
right.
What's up, Dad? Like, Dad, come on. Where is he? I'm like, I got him at 109. He's like, yep, not good enough. You know, so that was fun. Obviously, like, not where I envisioned, not where I'll ever be again. But for this year, it was just fine enough.
I will tell you, if Todd McShay watching at home with his son was an option, I would have chose that option. I'm serious.
Oh, it was funny. It was funny.
I can't. But enjoyable too, right? And that's a great job by
me. Absolutely, awesome. Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Who's the team? What's the pick, I guess? Let me do it this way. The pick that surprised you the most in the first round, but surprised you in a good way.
I mean, everyone's going to say Michael Penix, right? Was the most surprising pick going number 8 to Atlanta. I wouldn't say it necessarily in a good way, but we can get into that, to that one. I was really surprised that Chicago stayed home and took Romo Dunze, the wide receiver from Washington, because they only had 4 picks in the draft. And all the talk was leading up, and every other team I talked to was like, yeah, we're getting calls. Chicago wants to move out of 9. And you got to remember, like, so I'm talking to some people and everyone's mentioning, like, we're trying to get, you know, maybe someone can get up to Atlanta. And everyone always says, like, you know, somebody could, meaning it's like I'm calling about a friend, right? Somebody right. could maybe get up to Atlanta, and that's where we could take this guy or wide receiver there. So I really thought, based off all my calls, that Chicago was going to move out of number 9. And that kind of set off a chain of events, right? Like, Chicago staying and taking Odunze at 9. Now the Jets, what do, Stu?
They trade down. Fail. Yeah.
Trade right. down, right?
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
Right. Wow. Well, Mikey, are you listening to what he's saying?
Yes. Saying without saying, right?
Right.
So – But
oh my
but
God.
In doing so like, I love that pick. I was just very surprised. You asked me, like, what pick was surprising, but it turned out, like, you really like. I love that pick. Romo Dunze, outside of maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. and Ricky Pearsall, I would say those are the 3 receivers in this draft who are the best route runners and the most NFL ready. Now, Malik Nabers, most dynamic, like, closest thing to Tyreek Hill that we've had in this year's draft class. But in terms of, like, guys, like, plug, play, I know your favorite cliche term, but guys who are going to step in right away and are ready to play with the weapons that Chicago has already, you know, with veterans at wide receiver, with you know, Komet at tight end, bringing in Swift at running back, with depth at the running back position. Like, this is the best situation that a number 1 overall pick at quarterback has had. And Chicago did that by maneuvering around the last couple of years and getting – you know, lining it up for this year. And I thought they hit a home run with that pick at number 9. but it set off a chain of events. It was surprising. The Jets move out. If it was going to be a weapon at that spot, and it was going to be a receiver to get a number three receiver and a guy who could contribute right away for the Jets. If not, the debate then became, do we go with Brock Bowers at 10, or do we trade out and get the left tackle? And I can just say this, they got value in moving back just one spot, kind of fleeced Minnesota. But Minnesota had, like, at that spot, like, they didn't have to give up a bunch to go up to three to get Drake May because they couldn't make that move, right? And so JJ wasn't worth it to give away a whole bunch to move up to get him. I think they expected Penix and JJ to be on the board. So that whole thing was interesting. But they get JJ McCarthy by moving up just one spot. Didn't give away a whole lot, but still had to give away enough. The Jets move back and get – it wasn't about a right tackle. And everyone was saying, well, why wasn't like Talese Fuaga or what, you know, one of these other offensive tackles – it was about getting a left tackle because you get Smith, who's 33 years old, injuries, all that. So you've got to – not only are you looking for the future at left tackle, but it could be this year. And the one thing that the Jets know, and everyone, even the common fan knows, the only thing that's going to derail the 2024 season is if you can't keep that guy in your backfield upright and on the field. And so it was the right decision, and they got value for it by moving back just one spot.
Yet it seems by what you're saying, they wanted Rome Odunze. Like, they were surprised the Bears took Rome, right?
It would lead you to believe, right?
Right, of course, yes.
Yeah, it would lead you to believe. I can't say definitively, but it would lead you to believe based off of what they their needs were and where Odunze was on a lot of teams' boards. Man. Like, one of the six, seventh best players in the draft. But was he worth – like, is he worth – they already didn't have a second-round pick, so was he worth it to go up, like, a couple spots to go get him and give away another? Nah, it's not worth it, and we got to protect Aaron Rodgers. So let's stay pat. Let's see what falls to us. But Odunze's there. Maybe that's the pick. I would guess it's the pick without knowing. But if not, then let's see if we can move back a little bit and get Olufanu, who to me is the second best pure left tackle in this class behind Alt out of Notre Dame.
You were talking about how maybe the Bears were making calls and stuff. And leading up to the draft, we thought all these trades were going to happen. Everything was saying, oh, the Chargers are going to move out. Maybe the Cardinals want to move out. The Patriots are going to move out. And we kind of didn't see anything. And then towards like the second round, it became a flurry. Was there like a gap in skill there that made it happen like that?
No, I think two things. First of all, I think what happened was there were teams that were considering moving out, but at the end of the day, it was kind of like, hold, you know, like let's see who's on the board when we get there.
Right.
And we had this run where it's like, oh, the guy we want is there. Fuck it. Like, let's just take him. Let's not get cute. Let's not move back and move around. Let's just take the guy we want. Right. And be satisfied with it. And I thought Arizona, like there was a lot of talk about Arizona, maybe moving down a couple spots. Well, if you love Marvin Harrison Jr. that much and you think he's got a chance to be a generational talent at wide receiver, why not just take him at four? Why not? If you move back to six, the Chargers kind of wanted to move out of five if they got the right deal to move back. And so someone could have leapfrogged them. So there was a lot of that where teams got there and they're like, let's just take our guy. I really thought the Chargers would move out of five. They stayed there and took the top offensive tackle in the class and kind of set the tone for Harbaugh and this new regime, right? At six, I heard all week, there are certain teams that you start making notes on, right? The last couple of years, all the news, all the reports from reliable sources that tells me in the league that they're getting, you know, hoodwinked as well. The Giants are doing a really good job of just leaking a little bit of information right before the draft. And everyone I talk to in the league is like, nah, they're not taking Neighbors there. They don't need another OBJ. They don't need another Kadarius Toney. Like, they're done with that nonsense. They're taking Odunze, right? If you asked anyone in the league, that's what they were saying. So that was interesting to see. They just stick there and they're like, turning the card, Neighbors. And I think I have Neighbors as the number one receiver in this class. And a lot of guys in the league do too. No one really wanted to talk about it because Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a great, great player. And he's cleaner, and he's safer, and he's a better route runner. He's bigger, he's physical, all those things. But if Neighbors hits, look at what Tyreek Hill did for Miami, right? like that. He could be that kind of dynamic, explosive weapon. They're gambling on that, and I think it was worth the gamble.
Just to go back,
Mikey, real quick. The second round, you saw some movement, and a lot of it. The receiver, this receiver class is really deep, right? But you saw late in the first, you saw three receivers come off the board. What was it, like the last four or five picks? The last two picks in the first were receivers. Ricky Pearsall, I like the pick. I said to you guys, I think it was last week, I'd take him late in the first. Like, I like him that much. But when they saw a name like Pearsall come off the board and you start and you get overnight and you're talking, you kind of regroup and you're meeting with all the people, it's like, shit, like this receiver group's really deep and we can get some good guys, but the ones that are going to be huge impact guys, there's only a couple left. And that's why you saw, you know, trade ups and you saw, you know, Buffalo with Ladd and Ladd McConkey and kind of, you saw a quick run early on in the and then the defense, you know, the defensive guys started to go early in the second too.
What team made the first round pick where Todd McShay is sitting at home watching on his couch with his son? And he's going, son, what the fuck is that team doing?
Oh, jeez.
I know you don't curse at your son. I know. Just
not yet. It's getting closer, though, by the day.
You'll get there.
Bo Nix.
Really?
Bo Nix.
Scratching your head, right?
I'll tell you one thing. Sean Payton is – he gambled on himself, and he's got every right to do it. His career, right. Super Bowl winning coach. You know, he – either Drew Brees was phenomenal or he made Drew Brees from phenomenal, depending on who you talk to. Everyone in the league that I talked to had Bo Nix as a second round grade, really good backup. Maybe if developed properly, he's a solid starter. They always, and usually when every mock draft and every conversation you have pre-draft has one player going to the same place, it's false information or it's some kind of, you know, like people are just, one person says something, then everyone kind of follows. In this case, it was true. I mean, I remember having the conversation with Kuiper. He and I were talking. Like, this is the first and last time I'm ever going to ask you anything. I'm doing a mock draft for tomorrow. I don't want to give Bo Nix to Denver, but everything I'm hearing, and I was like, listen, Mel, like, there's not another team I've talked to in the league. If you're asking me, there's not another team I've talked to in the league who has a first round grade on him. I was like, but I'm hearing the same stuff. And so if you put Bo Nix at number 12 to the, you know, with Denver in the first round, regardless of where you did it, that was the correct call on a mock draft, right? Yeah. But my God, did Sean Payton bet on himself. Like, yes. This is going to be fun to watch. Like, if yes. You're a football guy and you really know how to evaluate quarterbacks and you know what you're seeing in Bo Nix, and even if you can get over the Auburn stuff, because it was tough to watch,
yeah,
and you can just focus on the last couple of years at Oregon, there's still, like, there's enough doubt where you just say, all right, let's take him in the second. At best, we get a solid starter, but we're probably getting a great backup and a great character guy, someone you would love having in the, you know, in the locker room, who's going to do all the work behind the scenes for the starting quarterback, all that stuff. So I can't say a negative word about Bo Nix outside of the tape didn't match up with being drafted that high and presumably to be the starter for the Broncos organization moving forward. But if there's one, you know, there's only a handful of guys in the league where you say, maybe, if he knows something more than I do, maybe it'll work. So, like, yeah. I'm just going to sit back with popcorn now and watch and be like, I hope I'm wrong on this evaluation, because it'll be really cool to watch someone who's great with quarterbacks identifying something in a quarterback that just about nobody else in the league did. And if he goes and wins, it's the all time, like, told you
know,
this will, the Super Bowl run, winning the Super Bowl, that will not be, in my opinion, as impressive as it will be making a deep playoff run with Bo Nix as a starter in the next 3-4 years. That to me will be one of the all-time coaching jobs.
If he really wants to impress us, he'll do it with Zach Wilson. I mean, just a flex, that, I'm saying, you know, just
that quarterback room is interesting. There's a lot of punchlines in there.
So who had top to bottom? What team had the best draft?
Chicago didn't have a ton of picks, but what they were able to do, like, crazy. To me, that's going to be game changing for them. But I think Arizona they had a lot of picks. And I know, like, I read all these things about people saying, well, the value wasn't there. Well, based off of whose value, you know? I mean, when you get Marvin Harrison Jr., when you got a quarterback like Kyler who's going to need someone who can actually rely on, and then you go and get Darius Robinson, whose pressure rating, pressure percentage doubled this past year when he was moved to edge. And so he's a guy who can play outside and play inside and is a difference maker. Elijah Jones, was he taken a little too early out of BC as a cornerback? Yeah, according to me, he was. But he's a really good player. Xavier Thomas was a player who had injuries throughout his career at Clemson. But he had a good final year, a great all-star game performance, worked out well. I think that they got some guys that are going to be impact players. But especially those first two picks, I thought that was a great start for them.
I didn't get a chance to see Belichick. I was actually doing a draft watch along as well. Was Belichick great or what?
I didn't see enough. I mean, there were parts where I thought he was really good. I think it was an interesting format, right?
Sure. Like, yeah.
Bill McAfee and
yeah.
I mean, it was funny for like a little bit to have it. I don't know if you've seen where they have like the mad Mel Kiper who's like sitting there cursing and saying all sorts of crazy stuff as if he's Mel Kiper. Does a right. good impersonation, like just as good as Caliendo's, I think, or in that neighborhood.
Right.
But then to have this like crazy person doing an impersonation and then like the greatest coach in the history of the NFL having to follow that up. It was like, I don't know. It was funny, but it was really bizarre, you know? Which is what makes them interesting at times is they can pull that off and have all like, the craziness and the nonsense and then like Nick Saban joining and all sorts of stuff. So I'd like to see him in a different format, but just to see his board and where his mind goes to, I did love it. It was sneaky, just like taking his little shots at Drake May.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, yes. Footwork's not there.
Right.
Third down conversion's not there. You know, like, and I was like, you know, a little bit of that scorn stuff. So there were some, and again, I probably watched, you know, 10% of their broadcast, but there were a couple things I caught that I thought were pretty interesting.
I saw a clip that wasn't highlighting Bill Belichick. It was highlighting Oz the Mentalist making, like, correctly picking, I think, the first 13 picks. And they're revealing it with Bill Belichick in the middle because he was on the set when they were doing this. And Bill seemed just, like, completely impressed by Oz the Mentalist. I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, Bill Belichick is a big Magic fan all of a sudden?
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we got this opportunity. And again, like Bill has an opportunity 1 year, and we have as fans an opportunity for 1 year to see. And is he a great drafter? No. Is he unbelievable with personnel and understanding? Like all the stories I've heard and the way he teaches scouts, and his dad was a scout. Like there's so much information. If you truly love the game, or you're just interested in like how the operation works, there's so much to get, like juice to squeeze out of this thing, right? But we got Mad Mel Kiper MFing people and Oz the Mentalist, you know, like, so. And
in
and
fairness,
yeah, it makes.
I want to blast McAfee, but it's a page under the Levitard show.
Boy. I was going to say, in fairness, we yes. would have completely wasted his time as well. Like, we started this interview asking you how many Toto songs you know. So we're no one to say anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, and I've always loved your show because I steer towards the crazy and like, the, you know, off the wall stuff. But it was just interesting because next year he's going to be a head coach somewhere. And so we're not going to get this until he's like in his like mid late 70s is my guess. Maybe another crack at seeing Bill like pick by pick with his draft board off of his analysis and tape work. And we've got this like circus going on around him, you know? And it's brilliant.
I know you're upset, but I'm so proud of McAfee.
No, I really love it. Yeah.
No, I'm not upset. I'm not upset. I wish I was more upset, right?
Right.
Because it's like I want to be mad at them, but it's like this is phenomenal.
Right.
You know?
It's funny. It is.
Yeah.
Journey or not journey?
Ooh.
Yeah, let's go.
Are you ready for it, huh?
All right. Yeah. This is not gonna be good for my career. We're good.
Oh, you'll be fine. Stop it. Feel free to tell us where you're going next if you want or when you want, you know?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm happy for Tom McShay. He's spending time with the kids, you know?
Yeah.
How many exactos before we get to journey or not journey? How many exactos did you get?
I didn't do a mock draft.
Oh, wow.
I got 85 out of the top 100 and was the best out of 75 people who put it into the huddle report. Just saying. Not even a humble brag. Like, go bleep yourself, you know? McShay's not working this year. He's not doing the work. Okay.
85.
Sorry, that's the prick in me every once in a while.
No. We love it. All right. Journey or not Journey? Are you ready, Mikey A? Do you have songs?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I got some songs.
This is great.
All right. We'll start here. Wheel in the Sky.
Yeah, that's Journey.
Wheels in the Sky.
I thought you were going to play. You probably haven't gotten you didn't pay the rights to play the music. No. Go ahead.
No, we never do.
If I don't know what, based off of the title of the song, I need you guys to like hum it or sing it a little bit. Okay. That'll make this bit better.
Got it. Okay.
Hold the Line.
Ooh. Give me a tune to it.
Hold the Line. Dun, 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 dun. Love isn't always.
No, not Turner.
Wow, McShay.
Who is that? Toto. That is Toto. All
right. But you knew, but now you know two Toto songs.
You know two Toto songs.
Two of their songs, yeah.
I wonder if you'll get a third.
Okay.
The Final Countdown.
Oh, wow. You need some tunes or humming or?
No, I know the song well.
Okay.
Is that Journey? No, not Journey.
That is not Journey. That is Europe.
Yep.
McShay, this is your wheelhouse, man. You're 3 for 3.
Yeah. I mean,
Rosanna. He's quiet and he's not making any expressions. I'm worried about him.
Rosanna.
Comment for me.
Rosanna.
Journey.
That is incorrect.
Toto!
That's your third Toto song.
Wow.
That's your third Toto song. Told you knew three of them.
Okay. All right.
You got one more or no? You're good?
Yeah. Any way you want it.
Oh, wow.
That's Ooh. Journey.
That is Journey. That is Journey. That'll be their closer tonight.
All right.
Yeah.
Where are you guys? Are you seeing Journey tonight?
Mikey.
I'm seeing Journey and Toto tonight.
Yeah.
Where are you seeing them?
Bridgeport Arena.
What's like the average age there?
Oh, geez.
I have no idea, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling I'm going to be the youngest.
You will be the youngest. Don't have a feeling.
Going with my in-laws.
It seems like a Cody concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're 100% right. It is a
right. But like kind of young for him. A little young for him, but still like he'd be there and feel and feel hip.
Yes.
Yeah.
He'd prefer something more in this Sinatra realm or something.
As opposed to needing a new one.
Yes. Todd, we appreciate this very much, man. It warms my heart to hear that Mel gave you that advice. And it really, I'm serious because this business can get in the way sometimes of your family, of what's really important. And so at least you've had this time here to spend it with your son who's mocking you during the draft, which I love.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And my daughter's doing cartwheels in the living room. It was beautiful.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Congratulations. We appreciate it. And we wish you luck in whatever is next for you. We know you're going to be great at whatever that is. So we appreciate it and thank you. And if you want to co-host with me every week, feel free. Like I'll make you an offer right now.
I'm still waiting on my call back from Meadowlark. So we'll see.
So are we.
Get in line.
I'll see you guys.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Stugatz.
Yo.
I get the sense, and I could be wrong, and I could be going out on a limb with this, that you were pestering Todd about what the Jets were going to do before the draft happened.
Perhaps.
And did you get information beforehand that maybe you found interesting after the fact?
No, not really. I don't want to put Todd in a bad spot, but I kept telling you guys that maybe they wanted a wide receiver. Kept saying it. I was not making that up. It's interesting that the Jets just thought they can get Rome Odunze, according to what Todd said, and he's doing some speculating as well, that they could get Rome Odunze just by sitting at where they were, which to me, Mikey, I don't know about you, but I never thought that would be the case. If you wanted him, you were going to have to move up to get him, I thought.
Yeah, no, I never thought they were going to be able to get Odunze at 10. I would have been thrilled if they could have. That would have been fun, but yeah, I never thought he'd be there at 10.
I mean, I think what he was saying was more along the lines of the difference wasn't worth trading up for to go and get him to the Jets and what they needed, right? So if they got him, they'd be more than happy with that situation. But once they realized they couldn't, then they're like, "Yeah, we might as well get some assets and trade down a spot and still get, you know, offensive linemen."
No, Joe Douglas did a good job. Once he realized he wasn't getting Rome Odunze, there was no reason not to trade down and get extra draft picks and do exactly what it is Todd McShay said he did, which is fleece the Vikings, I think, in that spot. But Rome Odunze would have been nice. I think the Jets were probably surprised because you have Keenan Allen and you have DJ Moore and you have the rookie quarterback. And I think the Jets were probably surprised the Bears were willing to take a third. He's your third wide receiver. He's a rookie and he's your third wide receiver. And that was the eighth pick in the draft. And they used their eighth pick in the draft on a third wide receiver. That to me is
ninth,
excuse me. Yes. But again, no quarterback in the history of the NFL rookie quarterback has more pressure than Caleb Williams because of that pick and the addition of Keenan Allen. They better be good and they better be good right away.
They have an offensive line. They have three legit top level weapons. They have a tight end who's a mismatch nightmare.
Yep, and a good defense.
Their defense is good, and they have a defensive-minded coach who's supposed to make them – he's supposed to make good defense great. Like, the Bears have very high expectations despite the fact that they had two picks in the top 10.
Yeah. Billy, I like you snooping around there, though, trying to get to the bottom of what was going on pre-draft with me and Michelle.
Oh, no, I'm just, you know.
I was peppering him. He was not answering, but Lord knows I was peppering him. Yes.
How many people do you bother with stuff like that?
A lot.
Like, just not even for, like, just for, like, your own selfish interest. Like, how many people are you – I imagine, and I may be going out on a limb here, I think – Mikey's the one with Mel contact, so I don't think that you're bothering Mel.
No.
I think that you were bothering Todd. Yeah. I think that you were bothering Diana Russini.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying Schefter. To think of...
He bothers me bothering, to get Mel.
Are you bothering Schefter for real?
Well, because Schefter knows the moves before the move, the trades, this, that. I mean, Schefter knows everything. He doesn't tell me anything, but it doesn't stop me from asking.
But he's busy. Why would you bother him?
I don't know. You know, because I'm me, you know, I love Schefter. You're asking who else I bother besides Russini, McShay, and Schefter.
Apparently,
I used to bother Mort, God bless his soul. May he rest in peace. I used to bother Mort every single year. He would tell me to leave him alone. Daniel Jeremiah is a guy I constantly bother because Mort introduced me to him. That was the biggest mistake Mort ever made. I mean, he didn't make many, but that was one of them. Yes.
Was it a mistake or was it a calculated decision to have you bother Daniel Jeremiah instead of him?
He foisted him. He foisted him.
Yes. He passed Jeremiah along to me.
How do you play by Mel?
By Mort.
By Mort.
Yeah, it was Mort, not Mel. You said Mel.
Yeah.
So you're saying, just so we're clear, so Mort wanted me off his scent. And so what he did was introduce me to Daniel Jeremiah so I could start bothering him during the draft.
Yes.
I think you're right.
He foisted you.
Did any of them answer you?
Nobody did. Not a single person.
Is that going to stop you from bothering them again in the future?
Nope.
Very good.
Thank you. God bless football, Billy.
God bless football, Mikey. Yay.
God bless football, everyone.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you BBQ Texas style or just celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. you need Miller Lite. Why do I need Miller Lite, you ask? Great question. Because it is already so hot outside, or it's about to get so hot outside, because we're in that weird spring to summer kind of transitional period where it gets really hot. And here's the thing about grilling. Grilling is really hot by nature. No matter whether it's charcoal or propane, you're lighting a flame and cooking meat or vegetables or whatever it is that you're cooking on your grill. And it makes everything very, very hot. So you need a cold drink. And Miller Lite's the perfect one, because when you cook all this food on the hot flames, it's somehow making all these calories that you're going to consume. And guess what? Miller Lite only has 96 calories. So if you're there saying, I want to look great in my bathing suit this summer, I need to count my calories. No need, because we already know Miller Lite only has 96. And then you can save those calories that you saved on your Miller Lite, and you can stick those calories into the food that you're cooking on your grill. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Tastes as great as your barbecue. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The light beer with the most taste. Less filling and only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975. A perfect companion for grill masters across America. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.